Right then, let's make sure we've got everything we need. Radfest 13 app downloaded onto the iPad. Check. Business cards for those important networking opportunities. Check. Microphone to record the views of movers and shakers in the UK radio industry. Check. And most important of all, umbrella. Check. Because we're in Salford, in the Republic of Mancunia, for this year's Radio Festival.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Here's a good start. Millie Riley is here. You've just been on stage, an all-woman panel, which I must say was a good thing.
Yeah.
And you were talking about something that often at radio conferences like this becomes a talking point. It's young people like you don't listen to the radio.
Mm.
It was kind of worrying, and yet you didn't seem to be too worried about it.
No, because, well, I think what I was talking about as well was that teen generation of now. I actually think the 1990s generation that I'm part of is sort of, we're all right, and I think we can be easily persuaded into listening more often. I think it's that teenage generation who Spotify and YouTube and other services are getting to them before radio does. And the quicker that radio can get to them, the better.
Do you think we ever can get to them?
Yeah, because the best way of doing that is seeing radio as the bedrock, the base, but being multi-platform, being multimedia, making sure that you make videos, that you create written content, and that you have great websites to navigate around. And if you can do that and build a strong multimedia brand, then you can get to them more quickly.
What are you actually doing yourself? You're a broadcast assistant, but where?
Yeah. So I've just started as a broadcast assistant at an independent production company called Grape, who make Annie Nightingale, Rob DeBank, and Screamin' Benga for Radio 1, amongst other things. They're sort of a content creation company. I'm also a casual team assistant at Radio 1. So I started off as a trainee at Radio 1 for 2 months in June and July, and since then people have wanted to pay me for the work that I do. So
Well, you're very lucky.
Yeah, it's all come round in the last month or so. It's all come round.
Millie, thank you very much.
The Radio Today programme.
Have you got that switched on, Trevor?
Yeah, I've got the ewer on, Helen. I found Helen Bowden. Welcome back to Radio,
Helen.
Thank you
very much. It's lovely to be back.
Is it really?
It's genuinely.
What's changed since you were last here 8 years ago?
Well, huge amounts have changed. So really surprising things. The industry is much more coherent, much more working together. That's partly because commercial radio has consolidated. And the two chunks of commercial radio may not be working together quite as much as one might imagine. But the commercial and BBC working together is really striking, because when I left there was a huge chasm between the two, and that really isn't the case now. In terms of radio as content and creativity, I think both BBC and commercial are in really good health, and the numbers are fantastic. The other thing that's completely extraordinary is how much radio I watch. I mean, that was the utter surprise for me. Because I was consuming loads. And I listened to a lot when I was in my old job in news, but most of it was news and current affairs. But suddenly to discover how much is being filmed for particularly Radio 1, but, the concerts for Radio 2. But as I said in my speech, we need to keep a sense of perspective about that. It's not the panacea to radio's ills. But the sense of all of our brands, commercial and BBC, slowly, depending on the needs of the audience, migrating into multimedia brands is clearly the journey we're all on, I think.
You mentioned job cuts again. I think the Daily Mail might be quite pleased with you.
Well, they might be, but the reality is if over 80% of your cost is in people, the only way to save money, I'm afraid, is in people's jobs. And I hate saying that, because for everybody who loses a job that they love, who's done a great job in that role, it's incredibly brutal. But that is the fact. If you're a very intensive people industry, it's people that take the brunt of the cuts. Although you start, of course, with trying to do other things.
Big announcement today about digital, and you're quoted, so is Dee Ford. All the big cheeses in radio are saying digital switch off is coming. I thought in your speech you were perhaps a little bit more negative than you were in the press release.
I don't think I'm negative about digital switchover, but I do feel I'm realistic. I do feel it's got to be audience-led. I mean, the last few percentage will be coercion. We're switching off, you better get a radio, because that's what happened in tele switchover. But you've got to have a really significant number of people welcoming digital radio and listening on digital radio. And you've particularly got to sort the car thing. That's the thing that worries me most. And I was interested that Dee was also very concerned about. That's 20% of our listening in cars. And it's great that so many new cars are now coming with digital radios in them, although it's still not half. You know, it's over 40%, but it's not over 50%. But people change their cars sometimes every 3 years. That's sort of the average. But quite a lot of people keep them going much longer. So you've got to find a way of getting those people to be able to convert to cheap, easy digital radios so that when you go in, say, for your MOT, it's, I don't know what it would be, but it's a really affordable rate. You can't be in a situation where people think, you know, actually, it's 500 quid for a digital radio in my car. That's a holiday. You know, they're not going to make the decision we want them to. So the whole environment has to change, I think.
Well, there's lots more we could talk about. Come on the Radio Today programme on a longer occasion.
Okay.
And in the meantime, welcome home, Helen.
Thank you very much, Trevor. It's very nice to be home in radio.
Rhys Hughes is here being mentioned for the second week running on the Radio Today programme.
Oh,
did
course,
you
yes.
hear last week?
I missed it, but I saw the tweet about... do you know what? I was supposed to be at that Cosby gig. But
this was David Crosby on Radio 4
with your
old mate John Wilson.
John Wilson.
He talked about you being a charismatic front man in a terrible group.
That's about right, yeah. About right.
So, Radio Festival 2013, yep. An enjoyable session which you did right at the beginning there, talking about talent.
Yeah.
And how does Radio 1 mostly find its talent these days?
Variety of, I mean, a lot of, we look very closely at student radio. Obviously, bits of community radio. We signed Yasmin Evans from Community Radio Manchester. We're also looking, as I said, in the session at YouTube now and sort of vloggers. And obviously, we signed Dan and Phil that sort of have a massive YouTube following but no radio experience. And we've had to craft them into radio presenters. Commercial radio as well, even now. You know, we just signed Clara Amfo to One Extra from Kiss. So a variety of kind of places, really.
We heard Millie, who's 22, mm-hmm. in that session after yours, talking about how some people a little bit younger than her don't even know about radio. Mm-hmm. It just has not crossed mm-hmm. their path at all. That must be something that you and Ben and everybody at Radio 1 these days talks about endlessly. What's the answer?
It keeps me awake at night. What's the answer? Very good question. I mean, that's what we're searching for, which is why... I think part of the answer is getting out on as many platforms that these young people are on. I know that Helen Bodum's just talking about the Greg James thing, and she went to a school in Liverpool and a few people listened to Radio 1, but everyone had seen the video, mm-hmm. Greg naked on a wrecking ball on YouTube. So we have to be on YouTube, we have to be on Facebook, we have to be on Twitter, we have to be on Tumblr. I think it's trying to find, and it's the $6 million question, what's that next massive social network platform that's coming over the hill? So we're obviously kind of thinking about things like that.
So although you're Radio 1, mm-hmm. you're really... multi-platform.
Very much so. I think we're very much multi-platform. I think we have to be, you know. I mean, there has been some, you know, raised eyebrows within the BBC about YouTube, but, if we want to gain a young audience, we've got to be on YouTube, you know. My 13-year-old son, that's where he gets his music from YouTube, you know. So it's tough times, but, we've still got 12 million reach, some 10+. So we're still, big station. We still hit 42.5% of 15 to 24-year-olds. Very on message.
You are doing the party line brilliantly here. When you and I used to work together, you wouldn't have been able to do any of that.
No, I'm management scum now, aren't I? So
I wish you every success. Take care.
Thank you.
Rhys Hughes.
Nice one, Trevor.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audio Boo, sharing voices with the world.
One of the Vine brothers is well known for stand-up comedy, and he's here. It's Jeremy.
Hey,
you did a fantastic presentation there.
Well, we were thinking about what we wanted to say for probably too long, I must say.
So, Radio Nightmares, very briefly, just tell us one for everybody listening to this who wasn't here.
Well, I played a caller who decided to tell us how bad these celebrity sex attacks were, and he listed one person we know about, who's been through a court. But then he said, and there's somebody else who's not been convicted yet, who is? And that's where your presenter life flashes before you, because you have to jump in there, because we don't have it on delay or anything. So I did, but it does keep me awake.
I loved your clip of Noel Edmonds completely losing it.
Well, Noel Edmonds, yes, that was, I don't know quite what was going on there, but Noel was very passionate about a particular campaign and very angry with a council that had stopped a woman building an extension to her house, but he sort of went into a crazy mode. Bless him, it's a great thing to see. You know, it's great to see where it goes.
It must be easy to do that. I mean, I've done phone-ins myself, and sometimes when somebody rings up with an absolutely insane idea, you must want to be rude to them.
I always just think the customer is king. So I don't... That there are sometimes people I think that they are, as they speak, listeners are throwing their radios across the room and out the French windows at the back of the house, you know, and I can hear that happening. I can hear the tinkle of glass. But I always think for me, it's a sort of an easy part of the job in a way to just enjoy it. So sometimes a guy who said the way to stop people dying in train crashes is to have the first three carriages empty and made of rubber, for example. It's not for me to say that's a silly idea. It's his show. He can say that.
Just one last thing. How often do you have to change the next record that you were due to play because of what's just come up as a news story or in a debate?
Well, probably not often enough, because we quite often played the wrong record. But yes, we have definitely... had moments where, you know, there's a fire and then there's the records of, you know, Disco Inferno or all that stuff. Mixing news and music is not easy. It goes wrong more than it should. You had a shark attack and then somebody plays I'm Mandy Fly Me, which has got a shark in it. And, you know, the computer unerringly chooses the wrong record. It's very odd.
Jeremy, thanks for talking to the Radio Today programme. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Trevor.
The Radio Today programme.
Fresh from a very good session at the Radio Festival this year, two people who met 30 years ago. One is a stalwart of news and current affairs and sport at the BBC. The other is a disc jockey. It's Dr. Fox, Neil Fox and Ellie Oldroyd. Yeah. And you first worked together at Wyvern.
At yes. Radio Wyvern.
What yep. kind of a show did you do? Because you did a joint show, didn't you?
Well, actually, there were three of us did a show. Yes. There was sort of a main host called Sam, who was a good guy, who basically got us in to do this show. And then we just... It was called the Saturday Morning Zoo. Look, we'd ripped the idea off the Z Morning Zoo in New York, which was an amazing show, and then ours wasn't. But, you know, it really wasn't, but it was fun, wasn't it?
We had a laugh. The sensible one. He was the zany one. And I'm not quite sure what Sam did, actually.
For younger listeners, what was Radio Wyvern? Where, indeed, is Wyvern?
Wyvern represents the Y and the 7. So it covered Hereffordshire and Worcestershire. We were based in Worcestershire. You know that?
Yeah. I thought it was the Wyvern. It was a mythical beast.
It is a mythical beast.
What, do you know, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah,
the Y and the 7. Yeah, that'd be a great name for a station. Oh, it was. Okay.
This is local radio. It's the best.
It was a little local radio station with no money. I basically worked for expenses for the first 7 or 8 months, probably. I didn't get paid. Did you get paid?
When I was freelancing, no. I think my first salary was my first full-time job, 6 shows a week, £5,000 a year.
God, that was cool. That was big money. Well, actually, I had my train fare back to my parents' house, which is where I was living, because I couldn't afford to live anywhere else.
Now, here's the thing. You two, do you think of yourselves as being in the same industry?
Well, there was a point a couple of years ago where I read an interview that he did in the Daily Telegraph. I haven't told you this. And it was all about your helicopter and your Harley Davidsons and your cars. This is days before kids, I think.
Yeah.
And I was looking at my extremely battered 10-year-old car outside and thinking... Are we in the same industry? But yeah, of course we are, because what we do is, you know, we communicate with people, I hope. Mm. You know, we're in an industry which both of us love, which I think we both fell in love with.
I definitely think we're in the same industry, but just very different parts of it. Mm. You know, it's like saying, are Fiat in the same industry as McLaren? Well, and that's not, you know, I'm not saying which is which.
But I was going to say, she's McLaren.
Do you know what? That sounds really bad, you know. But look, you know, they both make cars. We're both in the same industry, but obviously very differing sides. And what's interesting is the BBC has become mightier and more powerful, actually, over the 30 years. Commercial radio has completely changed in terms of ownership and how many there are. But in many respects, they've become bigger and more powerful too, groups that exist, Bauer and Global. And sort of really is a three-way battle out there at the moment. But, you know, one thing commercial radio doesn't, and no one tunes in for news, current affairs, documentaries. We just don't make that. We used to, and it's sad in a way that we don't anymore, but they're expensive things to make. But the BBC do make them, and they do it brilliantly.
Yeah, I learned such a lot from my days in commercial radio, partly because it was a place to take risks and to make mistakes. But I was doing news and sport at the start, you know, which is amazing.
Why don't we hear more of you on Five Live, by the way?
What, on Thursday nights, Saturday mornings? It feels to me like I'm working quite hard, Trevor, to be absolutely honest.
What about the Daily Show?
Yeah.
Daily Show.
You make a living out of doing 2 days a week. They pay them too much money over there.
This is why I haven't got the Harley Davidson in the helicopter, obviously. I'm just swanning around the place, having a life and having kids and doing all that
stuff. Off you go and see John O'Wall. Neil, Ellie, thanks very much for talking
Pleasure.
To us.
Pleasure. No, thanks, nice one. Thanks. Bye.
Paul Robinson's here, new chief executive of the Radio Academy. We had you on the other week talking about that. So this is your first radio festival as chief exec, and as you've only been in the job for 3 weeks, none of this is your fault. But what have you enjoyed so far?
Well, I'd turn it around and say, actually, I can claim no credit for it, and it's entirely down to Chris and Glow, who I think have put together a really good programme. And I think it's been almost like a fantastic BBC programme, beautifully crafted, great production, and really good light and shade. I mean, highlights, well, I think, first of all, I'm really pleased that we had Ashley Tabor, Helen Bowden, and Dee Ford all here, who represent the three biggest groups in radio, and all actually saying very similar things. Radio's healthy, but there are some issues. There's the issue about government switch-off, you know, what's going to happen, what are the government going to do, you know, too early to say analog's going, but we need some clear direction. You know, they're all saying that. They're all saying there's an issue about car radios. You know, we've been saying car radios for years. I remember writing a paper in 1994 when I was at the BBC saying the key to DAB is getting radio into cars, and we're still saying it. It's a critical thing we have to do, and no one quite knows what the answer is. People are actually raising the question and saying we've got to fix this one. And then there's the issue about young people. I mean, we know that average hours are declining amongst young listeners, and it's not catastrophic yet, but it's significant. There's a decline, and we need to understand what's going on. And clearly, the whole issue about how you engage with connected devices, which are really the lifeblood of young people, you know, they don't have a radio set in their bedroom. They have an iPad or they have a mobile phone. How we get radio to have a real presence in that world, a visual world, lots of talking about visualization and how you build brands that extend beyond just being the wireless. And I think they're all the right topics. And Andy Roberts and Ben Cooper again had a really good session.
Nice to see them on a stage together.
Yeah, really good. And I mean Charlie Sloth, I mean, I love Charlie Sloth. I mean, what a fantastic, enthusiastic presenter. And I thought it was great. I loved his trainers. Matching trainers and jacket. I mean, we are both underdressed, Trevor, and I now need to learn how to dress properly.
He must have been hot, though, in that great big duvet jacket.
Well, it looked cool, though, didn't it? But I noticed quite a few people had matching clothes. I noticed
Indeed.
That Vicky from Prison Radio had very nice blue cardigan and matching blue shoes.
Well, I was pleased to notice that you are not in radio de rigueur clothing, which is, I can now tell you, it's a jacket from somewhere like Hackett's.
Okay.
It's blue jeans that you've worn for a very long time, right, and some very shiny tan shoes.
Okay, well, my shoes are neither tiny. My jeans have been worn, but not that long, and my shirt is very black. So
you've done very well.
I've done very well, but I might be one of the stewards, though. That's the only downside of being dressed like this.
Paul, let me ask you this. It was good to hear both Ashley and Helen playing tribute to Tim Davey, who did a lot to bring commercial radio and the BBC together. And when I was doing your job, it was really very difficult to get them to agree that they were even part of the same industry. And yet, you know, I heard Helen and I heard Ashley and I thought, they're saying the right things, but are they really pushing in the same direction? I just wonder what you thought.
Well, I think, you know, it's an evolution, isn't it? And we've gone from a place where actually never the twain will meet to, you know, now oil and water aren't quite mixing, but at least they're actually cohabiting. Mm. And look, there's always going to be issues where the BBC and commercial radio are not going to agree and are going to compete. And that's fine, and that's grown up. But I think what's happening is people are saying, you know what, there's more and more issues where actually we do have a common agenda, where we have got to work together. And I'd see this festival really as, in a way, drawing a line under the bad old days of saying we're not going to work together to saying we now need to work together, but let's figure out what those issues are and identify them. So, yeah, Tim has laid fantastic foundations. The house isn't built yet by any means, but, you know, we're off the ground floor. And I think I was very encouraged. I think, you know, the thing about radio is we love radio. We're all anoraks and are quite happy to say we're anoraks. We have to actually keep talking about the positives of radio, you know, the brilliant medium it is. And I think we're getting a sense of that today. I think everyone is understanding that radio has to continue to pull together to compete with this world. Now, we know we've seen lots of challenges off in the past, and radio will continue to see them off, but we have to work at it. It's not just going to happen. And I get a sense of optimism and willingness to solve the problems, maybe not the solutions yet, but at least identification of the problems.
Do you think we've had enough information, enough presentations from people outside of our industry? I was talking to somebody just now who was saying, compared to Next Radio and to Radio Days Europe, this festival seems to have been, though very entertaining and very congenial, actually quite inward-looking.
I wouldn't say inward-looking, but can we do more in terms of external speakers? Yes, of course we can. And I think as someone coming from outside, coming back into radio via the Radio Academy, I think, you know, radio's got this family feeling, which is wonderful, and I love it, and I've had more well-wishings from people than I've ever had before. But we do have to realise we're part of a bigger ecology, and we do need to bring more influence from outside. So I think, yes, we could add that for next year, and that's certainly one of the notes for me to think about next year. Who do we bring in? Who are the speakers that you want to hear who are going to challenge the status quo and get us thinking about our future? And we've certainly got to do a bit more of that.
And do you think we'll be back in Salford, or do you think it's time to go and take the festival somewhere else in the UK?
Do you know what? I mean, I honestly haven't had any time to think about that, and I've no idea whether there's contractual situations in place. But I would say this. I mean, you remember this too. The Radio Festival was in Birmingham for a good number of years, and then we decided it was time to move it because it needed freshening up. We've been in Manchester a number of years. I don't think it needs freshening up, but maybe we should think about it. So I would say, as the new chief executive, I have the chance to have a look at it and evaluate. We may well come back here. We may well do something else. I just don't know the answer, but I do know you need to keep improving, you need to keep asking the questions, and we'll certainly do that. But the time now is to enjoy the festival. That's for the next 2 or 3 months ahead.
Good luck, Paul.
Thank you very much.
The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
Well, that was Radio Festival 2013, or at least some of the highlights. And I'm joined to review the festival now by David Lloyd from Orion. How many radio stations do you run there, David?
We have 4 in the West Midlands and Gem in the East Midlands as well.
So you're managing to be in commercial radio but not work for either Global or Bauer.
Absolutely, and enjoying
it. A triumph in itself, I think.
Having fun.
And also from the Radio Today journalism team, it's Stuart Clarkson. How are you, Stuart?
I'm not too bad, Trevor. Enjoying being back in radio after a few months away, looking after the kids every day.
Well, tell us then, what were... Pick out a couple of highlights, if you would.
Well, we like the entertaining sessions and something that's a little bit different, and I thought two that stood out on the first day of the festival were Toby Foster talking about BBC local radio, just really enthusing about what he does on a daily basis. He's telling us some great anecdotes, just a really, really genuinely funny guy.
And a good reminder that BBC local radio is still a vibrant place. I mean, it got a few knocks, didn't it?
Absolutely. And he came out, you know, we're proud of what we do. There's no shame in, you know, the cat being rescued from the tree kind of story, and this is what BBC local radio is about. And I thought he was really came across as passionate, and there are loads of passionate people in local radio, and he kind of typified that in the way that he delivered that. And the other session for me was Jeremy Vine, something a bit different. He was there on stage with props, he was in a bed,
more like his brother
nightmares.
Tim, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's got some of that theatrical influence, but really, really funny. Again, playing some radio fail clips, playing some you know, giving us some examples of where things have gone badly wrong for him. There's not too many national broadcasters would go up on stage and say, look, this is when I was really bad.
It's not always, though, about the entertainment, is it, the festival? It is a conference. We are meant to learn things, David. Did we learn anything in the last couple of days?
I think we did. I was at TechCon for the first day, which is, of course, the technical end of the festival, and I always sit there because I compare it, so I have to be there. And there's a fascinating session in there about the new user interfaces, which is basically the studio, because the studio, of course, has evolved through the years, but it hasn't changed that much, because all the digital screens are essentially, they're made to look like cart machines, aren't they? And faders look much like faders always did. But of course, in this Xbox generation, you can have the situation where your presenter is just waving their arms around, two fingers, three fingers, firing everything off. It is fascinating, and I wish actually more people from the content side had almost been in that session. So I think that was a learn for me.
Did we learn anything about the politics of the industry, particularly about the way the BBC works with commercial radio, perhaps better than it used to? That was certainly a theme of Ashley Tabor's and of Dee Ford's and of Helen Bowden's. And did we learn about how the industry can move forward together?
I think the tenor of the whole conference has been actually very healthy. And in a sense, although I enjoyed the slapstick bash up the BBC session, the rest of the festival has been fairly upbeat. You just get the feeling everybody's coming out of a fairly dark place for a whole host of reasons. And yes, there is more accord. Thinking back to the festivals, there was very much, oh, that's a BBC session, I'll go and have a cup of coffee during that, and this is a commercial radio session. There is very much more the feeling of, for goodness sake, we're all in radio together. I thought Ashley Tabor, who did the keynote address this morning, I think he performed actually very well. I was almost willing Torin just to push some of the questions just a little bit more, but that didn't happen. But you know, I think he presented himself admirably well.
He only lapsed a bit, didn't he, in answer to the question, would you like to own all of commercial radio?
Well, that was the very question. I said, come on Torin, but they smiled and moved on to something else.
Let's, Stuart, just big up Fee Glover and Jane Garvey, who I thought were an excellent presentation pair.
Yeah, I'm not a Radio 4 listener. I know David is an avid Radio 4 fan. It's not a station I ever really tune into. But I think I might listen to Jane on Woman's Hour now, or listen to what Fee Glover does, because it was a surprise for me. I thought, oh, are they going to be as good, as funny as Radcliffe and Marconi have been the last couple of years? But pleasantly surprised. Really funny, really witty, and really kind of in the inner workings of the industry and making kind of those in-references and self-depreciating humour. Great.
Do we feel when we're at the festival that we're part of it, or do we feel like we're spectators at it?
I think it was very involving. I mean, they were trying to use Twitter all the way through, weren't they? And that's really difficult. Having tried to do it, it's really difficult to do it live because you're faffing around on your iPhone, right? You're trying to find the ones that make sense. So although it's, you know, tweet in your comments and get involved, it's actually quite difficult. Then there's confusion about whether actually you want questions from the audience, and it's a bit dark out there. So that bit, although the intention was there, I'm not sure we quite got there, but there was clear intention.
OK, finally then, this is the Radio Today programme, and I don't know whether you noticed, but there's always a piece at the end in which an elderly gentleman reminds us of great moments in radio history. Do you ever hear that?
Yes, I've heard that many times. Yeah,
I wondered if just this week, David, you'd like to introduce it.
Right, it's been one of the most significant weeks in radio history because this was the week in which commercial music radio arrived in the United Kingdom. So that's the subject, largely, of this week's Radio Moments.
Shall we do the jingle, David?
Okay,
here we go.
Better.
Right, 3, 2, 1. Radio Moments!
Isn't it good to know it's Capital Radio?
Capital Radio will be offering you non-stop entertainment and music 24 hours a day on 539 meters medium wave and 95.8 megahertz stereo VHF. Capital involves Londoners, and many of our presenters will be talking with our listeners by telephone.
As opposed to shouting through their windows, I guess. This week in 1973, of course, saw the launch of Capital Radio.
Good morning. This, for the very first time, is Capital Radio.
Good morning from myself, David Simons. The time is 5:09 on the first day of Capital Radio. It is not going to be a customary habit to deliver long diatribes on Capital Radio. It is your station.
David Simons. The early days were challenging. Programme director was Michael Bucht.
No money came in at all for nearly 4 months, and the thing was a catastrophe. Not because it wasn't working as radio, people always forget that. It was because it wasn't, the country was on its knees economically. And we went through 2 general elections in 6 months and all of that stuff. Afterwards, it came very good and was wonderful. But there was a rough old time. Yes, there was a rough old time, my God.
John Whitney was managing director.
He was a very charismatic singer when he couldn't get into his office. I recall on the first few days of his appointment, he leant against it. Oh, I think leant is an understatement. He put his elbow to it and broke it down.
The Capital Radio Company was formed from the best people from across all the groups who'd applied for the licence. Chairman Richard Attenborough did the marriage making. But as things got underway with huge pressure on revenues, Richard got ready to sell some of his paintings to raise cash.
I didn't actually sell them. I put them in the boot of the car, and I took them down to the bank of Scotland,
And a marvellous man who was the chief executive then. And we went in to plead for an upgrading of our overdraft. And I said, I've got the car downstairs. I said, I've parked it outside. And I've got five paintings, and they're worth X, you know. And you can have them. I'll bring them up. You can have them as security. And he went out. I said, give me five minutes. I said, I'll be back in a moment or two. And he came back and he said, no, you can keep your paintings. We'll give you your money.
Capital in the morning, 6 to 9 with David Simons, plus Monty Modlin on the move, the news and the music.
The morning continues with Tommy Vance and Joan Shenton.
There appears to be a dog-snatching gang at work in London's East End. In recent weeks, several valuable dogs have disappeared without a trace.
And I had a sheaf of papers on me because I was supposed to be sort of doing six features every morning, which Tommy used to look down on. He thought they were a load of rubbish.
Sister Sledge at 12:52 from Capital 539.
Commercial radio had been a long time coming. This week in 1961, The Times reported that Harlech and Westwood TV had created companies to run radio stations in their patches. And this week in 1960, Pi entered the campaign for commercial radio. They wanted 160 stations and even mocked up what they might sound like. The technical teams have often been in at the start of these things, and this week, 91 years ago, the British Broadcasting Company was formed from six telecoms companies. John Reith was the first general manager.
Broadcasting is a development with which the future must reckon, and reckon seriously. Here is an instrument of almost incalculable importance in the social and political life of the community, in affairs national and international.
The early days of the new British Broadcasting Company this week in 1922. It became a corporation 5 years later. The company comprised Marconi, Metropolitan Vickers, the Radio Communication Company, British Thomson Houston, General Electric and Western Electric. The BBC staff numbered four. By 1968, the BBC was well-established and still experimenting, this time with local radio. 45 years ago this week, its founder, Frank Gillard, reflected on that trial.
By this time next year, we shall be engaged in the business of evaluating, for the Postmaster General, the success that the stations have had in the period of their operation as experiments. And it's on the strength of the assessment that will be made next year that decisions will be taken whether to go ahead with a great expansion of local radio or whether to curtail the operation, perhaps even to cancel what's happened so far.
Frank Gillard. Any questions on Radio 4 was also his idea, and that programme began this week in 1948 from Winchester.
Rather a sad question, this. In view of the apparent world shortage of meat and fats, do you consider that we shall ever again be able to go to the butcher and grocer and order what quantity and kind of meat and fats we require, or shall we have to be content with a generally lower standard of living than pre-war? Ralph Whiteman, I'm sure you can answer this.
I'm afraid that up to a point we shall, yes, have to be...
Staying with Hampshire this week in 1975, commercial radio came to Portsmouth.
For the very first time in the south of England, with the time just gone 1 o'clock, on Tuesday, October 14th, 1975, on 257 metres medium wave and 95 megahertz VHF in stereo, this is Radio...
The early breaths from Radio Victory. It was said the sales force turned up in caftans on day one. That station lasted just 11 years, though, as its franchise wasn't renewed. Its replacement began this week in 86.
What do you want from your new local radio station, Ocean Sound?
Well, I'd like to hear a nice selection of good music.
The arrival in harbour of Ocean Sound. And it's 5 years this week that a BBC broadcast was to cause lasting repercussions.
Well, right, there's Andrew Sachs's phone. Oh, I hope he... What if he answers this time?
You're on your own, then.
Oh, no, Jonathan. No, please. I'll do anything. I can owe my whole career to you.
Hello. Manuel here.
Right, sorry, I can't answer at the moment, but...
I'm too busy thinking about killing myself.
Ross and Brand, 5 years ago this week, with what became known as Saxgate. So with regular stereo transmissions in London beginning this week 55 years ago, Chiltern Radio launching 32 years ago...
Chiltern Radio will serve all localities, large and small.
Ball and Greening replacing Mark and Lard on Radio 1 Breakfast this week 16 years ago, and BRMB going 24 hours this week in 1976. Those are this week's Radio
Moments. Thank you, David Lloyd. That was Radio Festival 2013. There's lots more about it on the Radio Today website at radiotoday.co.uk. Videos, more interviews, photographs, everything you could possibly need to have the experience, even if you weren't here in Salford. This has been the Radio Today programme. Next week, there'll be something we hope equally interesting. It's been a TDC production, and we'll see you soon.